Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
It is time for Joe, Richard, and myself to interview our next guest, Arnulf Sood, who has G Reminders, a really cool platform. So welcome, Arnulf. Tell us all about your platform.
My background is sort of technical in nature. I spend a lot of time in technology, spend a disproportionate amount of time on, you know, sales, marketing, and running a company and so forth. But I've spent my past 25 years in enterprise B2B software. I founded 4 companies. Some are venture-backed, some are bootstrapped. This one is self-funded. You asked about GReminders. It is effectively an end-to-end meeting management platform designed for financial advisors. That's our primary market segment. Product market fit, it's such an important thing. You can take a product, put it in one market, and it doesn't work, it doesn't fit. But you take it somewhere else and it doesn't. So product market fit, in my opinion, is, you know, certainly for startups or people that are thinking about startups, it's a very important concept, and it's going to hit you in the face when it happens. You know, when you get sell-through, you start selling, that's when you know you've hit product market fit. You know, when we started GReminders, for example, it was a very horizontal product that really appealed to any professional that was generally service-based. They were exchanging, you know, their time for compensation. And so as a result, they needed to notify people of no-shows and things like that. Over time, over the last, you know, few years, we focused very heavily on financial services, service-based model, really integrated deeply with a lot of their tools. And so not only just online scheduling, but also, you know, SMS, email notifications, AI note-taking. You have AI note-taking here in this podcast, for example, summarizing action items, pushing back to CRM, integrating with a lot of the systems sort of surrounding that particular vertical market. So we're doing very well there and, you know, growing north of 100% year on year.
What does GReminders do?
It's a piece of software that you connect to the calendar that you use today. So you might use Outlook, might use Google Calendar, might use some other calendaring system. We sit on top of it. We allow people to basically schedule with you. So you can share a link with your clients. It also supports things like routing and more complex scenarios. So if you want to put that on your website, ask maybe what's your zip code, who would you like to talk to, topics that you'd like to talk to. We would route you to the right person, that sort of thing. We would send you notifications to make sure that you actually show up to those meetings. We would join the meetings, just like in the Zoom call, for example. We would summarize, take transcripts, record these calls, and then create action items and task lists so that you can then do follow-ups. And we also have automation around a lot of that. So really the end-to-end meeting lifecycle, we sort of cover it end-to-end.
And one thing I really liked about it when I looked at your website, and I've used Calendly, but it's frustrating. Somebody will say, schedule with my Calendly link. It's like, well, what about these other two people? We can't all schedule on your Calendly link. You allow multiple people to find a time that fits for them.
Yeah, we handle all of that. And Calendly is a great product, and we run into them, you know, frequently. But again, Calendly is designed for the masses, and we're very targeted against the markets that we focus on. And so we kind of know our market, and, you know, back to sort of product market fit, that is a very important element for us. You can use our product across a number of different verticals, essentially, but we are very focused from a business standpoint against going after very specific markets.
That was my question, actually, if I may, Richard. Sorry to jump in. Just a quick question on the sales piece of that. It sounds like you've got a great background in the technical side and you've developed this, and even, God bless you, you've invested it yourself. You're driving it. There's nothing better. That's the American dream. My question would be, you know, you've got the right product and you've got the market fit you see. How do you reach that market as an entrepreneur? How do you go after those individual financial folks? How do you reach them?
Distribution is always the biggest challenge for any business. First question, people ask me, what do you think about this idea? My first question, are you going to sell it? Are you going to get to that market? And you have to understand how people buy. And you have to understand where that audience is. Where do they get their information from? So you use a variety of strategies, traditional ones, as you can imagine, you know, SEO, SEM, things of that nature. But we also do lots of other types of things. So we do partnerships with other vendors. We do partnerships with consultants that are in the space. A big part of our value add is really being part of that ecosystem. So you don't want to be an island when it comes to software. You want to work with the other systems that are already installed in these ecosystems. And so we plug ourselves into that and we do deep, deep, deep integrations, right? Not just surface level. I mean, very deep. And it's a hand in glove sort of native fit. So when we do that, naturally, you sort of get pulled from those marketplaces. And then we also do lots of shows and events and trade shows. Those are actually still a thing in that particular market. But you have to be where your customers are.
How did you find out that the financial groups are the best customers for your product?
When we started, we were selling to a wide range of businesses, but we started to see pockets of concentration. And as an entrepreneur, you never know what you're going to get. I don't think you necessarily, it's certainly in the early days, you can't predict what next year or 5 years down the road is going to look like. Once you mature, you probably can get a pretty good sense of what's going on. But in the early days, you really need to listen. You need to listen a lot. You need to look at your customer base, see what's working, see what's not working. Talk to them. Get outside of the four walls. There are no answers inside of your office. They're all outside. So you got to go and talk to your customers, talk to your prospects. What are their problems? And really listen. And you have to do this yourself. You can't outsource it. You can't outsource your eyes and ears. It's really important. And that's exactly what we did. And we started to see pockets of concentration. Oh, these are your problems. How can we better serve you? Again, listen to them. Listen to the problems. And listen to the impact of what those problems would produce if you were to actually solve them. There could be problems, but they may not be very impactful. So that's not really something worth working on. But what if you could save, you know, 3 to 4 months of time a year per person? What would that mean to your business? Well, it's 25% lift in revenue. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's how you plug yourself into the value chain.
Well, we have found with Gearheart Law especially that it is better to work with vendors that have products that they've made for law firms. There are so many considerations. And in your industry, financial, there are so many laws and rules. Do you run into any problem with your software with those?
Compliance and governance is a huge deal. So we work with a lot of broker-dealers in this space that sell products and services to firms that essentially rep for them. So the industry is very different than perhaps, you know, other industries that might be out there. So you need to understand that. You need to understand what type of rules you need to live by and what kind of compliance you need to have. So we've gone through all of that and it's been a learning curve, certainly for us, but that's part of sort of the moat that prevents other folks from necessarily coming into those markets, because you do need to understand those things. And you need to have those things in place, be it third-party audits, be it different types of controls, data retention policies, et cetera, that really support the compliance and governance of those industries.
So it seems to me, though, when I look at your software, it would be interesting to a lot of different industries, a lot of different types of customers. Why do you think it gets the pull from the financial folks that maybe it doesn't get someplace else? What are the features maybe of the software that appeal to them specifically?
So at the surface, they all look sort of similar, right? So if you look at like a Calendly or something, again, at the surface, it kind of looks the same. But when you actually dig in and understand the different touch points and the integration points that exist, those integrations is really what sets us apart. And understanding those workflows and the nuances and speaking in that language. So once you have the product, then you need to go make sure that you can translate that into value for the customers. But again, when you focus a business on a specific market and a specific problem, it focuses every single aspect of your business against that. So you know what features to build, you know what shows to attend, what the salespeople should say, what the talk track is. It really helps focus your business. If you're talking to government and you're talking to healthcare and you're talking to construction, they all use different terms and different languages. It's very difficult for an organization to understand all those things. It's even more difficult for your staff to understand all those things. And so I think if you can focus on a market, it really focuses your business and as a result, accelerates the pace significantly.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's how I got into the marketing at Gearheart Law. I'm actually a patent agent and I was drafting patent applications for a while, but none of the marketing agencies could understand the nuances between a patent, a trademark, and a copyright. And they would write blogs for us and do this stuff. And it was like, no, It didn't work. So I ended up getting kind of stuck with it. But I do think you're
stuck. Well, she's been stuck for 18 years, so must not be too bad.
Joe, did you have another comment?
I just thought there was some great insight there. I mean, first of all, you seem like a really seasoned business person that's very process driven. And boy, that's usually a great sign and path to success. And pulling out a few lessons that I heard that I think could be applied to any business, just listening to the things and the lessons that you shared is when you're starting a business and you're small, right, which we all are when we start, look for something bigger, a broader rail system, something that you can ride and attach yourself to that. So if you're going to be the little guy, go look for a larger distribution partner, someone that you can work with who can help you scale that. That can be applied to consumer business, to individuals, retail, you name it. It's one of the reasons why if you have a watch store, it's not going to say Joe Lopez watches much on the outside. You're going to hang signs for Rolex and Swatch and all the brands that would pull someone into that store, right? The second piece that I heard from a B2B perspective or a business selling to a business is that you really have to have value to make sure that that other business who's already got a bunch of customers and has, in this case, a software application in place, you better sure as heck be bringing value to that for them to say, give me what you got and let me incorporate that into my group there as well.
When you were targeting the financial market, how much of it was pull that came from recommendations from other referrals between other financial people within the market? And how much of it was sort of deliberate focused marketing on your part?
I'm a big fan of vertical markets. And so when we started, we thought there would be one or two verticals that we would go after. We weren't quite sure which one those were. So to some degree, you know, we had an idea we wanted to do this conceptually. As far as the specific vertical, that grew somewhat organically. But again, you know, we talked to a lot of customers. Why did you buy this? Why did you not buy this? And when we talked to financial services, they said things like, we'd like it to do X, Y, and Z. Can you do those things? And when you're a startup, you know, you can move fast. That's the benefit of a startup is you can really move fast. And so, you know, you listen to those things. If you hear it enough times, you don't need to hear it many. If you hear it 3-4 times, it's a pattern. You go do it. Next week, you show up. Hey, I got this for you. You know, when you do stuff like that, you get amazing results. At the flip side, you need to understand, you know, how big is the market? You have to do a little bit of analysis, right? But to the extent that it's big enough for you to play, go play.
Arnold Sue, G Reminders. How do people find you?
You can go to our website, greminders.com. I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter as well.
So that's A-R-N-U-L-F, and his last name is H-S-U. Thank you very much.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey and Rissiket Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.